Bitcoin exchange-traded funds are being added to Wisconsin's state pension fund. It's Friday, May 17th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Happy Friday. Coming up on the show today, state lawmakers heard testimony about the systems in place to stop non-citizens from voting in Wisconsin. And the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association Board is reconsidering a recent decision to ban a high school track star from competing. Stay with us.
What's going on in Wisconsin today? You find out on the Wisconsin Today podcast. This 10 minutes of regional news is supported by the people who listen. You. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Wisconsin's state pension fund has added Bitcoin to its portfolio. Rich Kramer reports pension managers bought more than $160 million worth of newly approved Bitcoin funds earlier this year.
The State of Wisconsin Investment Board, known as SWIB, bought more than 3 million shares in two new Bitcoin exchange-traded funds. That's according to filings with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. Those ETFs are managed by investment juggernaut BlackRock and cryptocurrency asset manager Grayscale. Marquette University Emeritus Professor of Finance David Krause says the ETFs are similar to mutual funds. He says the investment board's entry into the Bitcoin ETF realm is a big deal.
I am pretty confident that just about everybody that runs large pension funds or institutional funds is aware that SWIB took that action.
A spokesperson for the investment board told WPR it doesn't comment on specific assets or acquisitions. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Vice President Kamala Harris spoke at a moderated conversation in Milwaukee yesterday as part of her economic opportunity tour. Much of her speech focused on how the policies of the Biden-Harris administration are helping the economy. As part of the visit, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development announced nearly $40 million in awards towards housing counseling agencies. That includes the Milwaukee-based Housing Resources Incorporated. Trina Bond is the agency's executive director. They help first-time buyers purchase homes.
A lot of people don't know about how to go about purchasing homes, especially the majority of our clients who are black and brown residents of Milwaukee. They don't understand how to do it.
Right now, Biden is narrowly leading former President Donald Trump in Wisconsin, according to recent polls. But a Marquette University Law School poll also found that voters said they favored Trump when it comes to the economy. Meanwhile, 6 months out from the general election, Republican state lawmakers held an informal hearing at the Capitol about voter IDs. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, they were asking experts what non-citizen IDs look like.
Earlier this year, GOP lawmakers passed a bill that would have put a person's citizenship status on their driver's license. Governor Tony Evers vetoed it. According to multiple reviews of election data, non-citizen voting is especially rare. Christina Boardman with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation told lawmakers there are already checks and balances in place to prevent non-citizens from voting. For example, when someone uses a driver's license to register online.
That information will be confirmed with Wisconsin DMV systems to ensure that the information entered for voter registration is consistent with DMV's records.
Republicans this session also passed a proposed constitutional amendment to specify that only U.S. citizens can vote in Wisconsin. Voters will weigh in on that question in November. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
There is now an easier way to get Narcan in Racine County. The city's health department has been mailing the opioid reversal drug to individuals for about a week. The program is called Mail Me Narcan. It's the first organization or agency in the state to send the drug to people by mail. The health department says it can help remove the stigma about opioids and barriers to care. Ryan Rehack works for the peer-led drug recovery group WisHope. He says he sees a future in Narcan by mail.
Talking about that stigma and everything again, once you see a couple counties do it and see how it helps, then all the rest of them very quickly seem to just jump on board.
Each order comes with two doses of Narcan, fentanyl test strips, and information about where to get help. The health department has filled and shipped 13 orders so far. The city will continue to provide free Narcan through its health department and vending machine. The Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association Board is reconsidering a recent decision to ban a high school track star from competing. Corrine Hess reports that Campbell Sports students' parents live in Africa.
Josh Awanali attended the high school his freshman year. He then moved to Ghana with his parents for 2 years. They're missionaries in the country. Josh returned to Campbell Sport for his senior year. But WIAA residency rules are preventing him from participating in sanctioned track events. His coach, Derek Toshner, says WIAA has been provided with all the information, including that his mom has returned and owns a house here.
We produced all that information, and then they still said it wasn't sufficient. It's almost like they're just kind of standing in the way rather than helping.
State lawmakers have put pressure on the organization. WIAA is expected to make a final ruling this week. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, in today's episode of Wisconsin Life, we'll hear about a Stoughton band's rock and roll history with their one-hit wonder. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's a story about a one-hit wonder from Stoughton that's being inducted into the Wisconsin area music industry this weekend.
So what are some of your early memories of rock and roll? For Stoughton's Bill Amundson, there's one that happened really close to home, like right down the street.
It was a normal Saturday spring morning at the Amundson household on Norris Street in Stoughton, Wisconsin.
This is Detective Huckleberry Hound.
The year was 1960, and I was a 7-year-old boy watching Huckleberry Hound when my dad burst into the room. He said, "The band that's on the radio, they're practicing in the garage right down the street." He then proceeded to hustle my brother and I down to the old Hanson garage, where we had a front row seat to a rehearsal by Stoughton's very own one-hit wonders, the Fendermen.
Good morning, Captain. Well, good morning to you.
Phil Humphrey was living in Stoughton, working as a truck driver and taking classes at the UW when he met Jim Sundquist of Niagara, Wisconsin. The two quickly bonded over their Fender guitars and the unusual fact that they shared the same birthday, November 26th, 1937. They formed a duo, dubbed themselves the Fendermen, and began playing gigs at small clubs and bars around southern Wisconsin.
Well, I'm an old Bill Skinner.
Tell you what.
Their set was mostly country and rockabilly standards, but they couldn't help but notice that folks went wild for their rather unhinged cover of the old Jimmy Rogers song, Blue Yodel No. 8, usually called Mule Skinner Blues. They tried selling the 45 on their own, with little luck, until a lacrosse DJ named Lindy Shannon became obsessed with the song and played it into their local top 10. From there, it was picked up by the Soma label out of Minneapolis, who released it nationally and sent it soaring into the Billboard Hot 100, where it reached number 5 in June of 1960. By the end of the summer, Mule Skinner Blues had sold well over 1 million copies. The song itself was unusual. It featured just the two Fendermen, drenched in echo, no drums or bass, with Humphrey's delirious whooping and yodeling. Highlights included a number of deranged yuck, yucks, and ha-has, and concluded with the classic
cha-cha-cha.
As the song took off, the now four-piece band continued to rehearse in that old garage on Main Street in Stoughton, and we kept a lookout for them so we could gather outside at a moment's notice. Mostly, we just stared in reverent jaw-dropping awe, not believing our luck. After all, the Fendermen, although practically teenagers themselves, were the biggest celebrities any of us had ever seen in our short, small-town Stoughton lives. By summer's end, they'd opened for Johnny Cash and Kitty Wells and appeared at the Grand Old Opry. A performance on Dick Clark's American Bandstand would follow, where they shared the bill with teen heartthrob Bobby Darin, who seemed downright subdued by comparison. And then, just like that, it was over. They released a full album called You Guessed It, Mule Skinner Blues, and continued to play as a popular live act. But amidst legal wranglings with their record company and without a follow-up hit, they disbanded in 1961. But Mule Skinner Blues lives on. To date, it has sold over 4.5 million copies worldwide and is a staple on oldies radio stations everywhere. The Fendermen may have provided Stoughton with only a footnote in the history of American music, but they made a lifelong rock and roll fan out of one 7-year-old living just around the corner on Norris Street.
Cha-cha-cha! Bill Amundson is an artist and rock and roll fan from Stoughton, and his essay was originally published in the Stoughton Courier Hub. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Colbert.
And that'll do it for this Friday. Really glad you could join us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. Thanks so much for being here. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers today, the people putting the show together behind the scenes, we could not do it without them. They were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hey, help spread the word about the show. Tell a friend, hit subscribe, or you can always leave us a review. You can do so by just leaving a review right on Apple Podcasts, or you can send us an email with your feedback. You can do that at newscasts@wpr.org. Have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.